Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. And again, it just ministering to my spirit, and I trust it is yours as well. And what a blessing it is to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32. We're going to read the entire psalm, which is 11 verses this morning. If you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to. And all of those that are at home watching via the live stream, again, we encourage you to stand with us and sing with us and just feel like you're part of the services right here in this auditorium. So Psalms chapter 32, as I read, you follow right along with me. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will trust thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again this morning, and we thank you for your blessings. Lord, there are always so many. If we would just take time to think about them and praise your name for them. This morning, as we have assembled here together and as we have come together as a church family, if not here through live stream, we are a needy people. And God, we just ask that you would, Lord, speak to us through the preaching and the teaching of thy word. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Psalm chapter 32. This is the Psalm of David, and this was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God by David after his confession of sin. As David writes Psalms chapter 32, it helps us to know just what confessing his sin did for him. In verse 1 and 2, David received blessings. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." He was aware that he had been forgiven, and he was aware that his sin had been covered, or if you will, had been blotted out by the blood, knowing that the Messiah would come and shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross, and that is what would blot out his sin. He had the blessing of knowing that and understanding that. In verse 2 it says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. David was very clear in understanding what God had done for him, to the place in verse 8 he says, this is God's response to David, and he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. David had been restored to a fellowship with God, and he had been restored to knowing that God was there to lead, guide, and direct him through whatever kind of troubles and trials that David would face from that time forward, which would also lead David to say in verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. Can I tell you, as long as you know that you're saved and as long as you know you're in fellowship with God, no matter what it is that we have to face, I believe we can look to God and we can shout for joy. Because we do know that God is still on the throne. This was after confession of his sin. This idea of shouting for joy come as a changed mindset and a disposition in his own life. Can I tell you this morning that the temptation to sin is ever before us. It's a sin to not have trust in God. It's a sin not to have faith. It's a sin to turn away from what God would deem righteousness. It's a sin to turn away from God and turn to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's so many temptations to sin because sin is ever before us. And sin is what will keep us from what David experienced here, the blessings of God, God's leading. And our disposition, our mindset of just shouting for joy. Sin is very powerful. In this 21st century, there is more temptation to sin available than ever before. I mean, praise God for the technology. I believe the wisdom for the technology that we have was known by God for this 21st century and beyond. He knew exactly where we would be toward the end of time. He knew the capabilities that we would have. I believe that one of the things that we have learned through this is the extent of what we're experiencing and coming together via the internet and live streaming. Learning the evangelistic outreach that we can have as a church, not only through our television ministry, but now through live streaming and seeing how so many people have benefited from it from every service. And we're getting comments about every service. And we see all the things that the blessings of the technology, but at the same time, internet's available to people all night long. How many think that they're getting by with certain things when they get down at night and they go to the internet and they follow after some kind of a misguided thought of something that's going to bring them pleasure? Look at teenagers today and how that this brings so many things into play through the internet, and not even through the internet, even through phone and phone texting when they're alone with themselves and they do things and possibly even send pictures that come back to haunt them. What I'm saying is that as we understand that temptation to sin is ever before us, verse 3 and 4, David reveals to us just what it does. Sin for believers, when I kept silence, when I kept it in, he said. This is before he decided to confess his sin. He had already committed the sin. And now we find, he said, before I confessed the sin, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, dried up, no life, under the conviction of God. See, for the believers, these sins corrupt the soul. And they cause us to lose the blessings of God and the direction of God and the ability to just shout for joy. Let me just read to you, but in the book of Galatians in chapter 6, in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." And that's what sin does. It corrupts. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That life begins the moment that you get saved. That life is given to you, and you know that you have everlasting life. And so you, no matter what you go through in this world, you have everlasting life. And you know that at some point you're going to get through this, and you understand at the end of this, we've read the end of it. We know how it turns out. We know that we have been given the victory in Christ Jesus, and we can overcome whatever it is that we have to face. Sin corrupts that. In the book of 2 Peter in chapter 2, and again, write these down, go back and study them later on, but in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, "While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." When you give in to things that are outside of God's blessings and God's will for our lives, and we turn to these things, they lead us back into bondage. He says in verse 20, he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through knowledge of the Lord," through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means after you're saved, he says, "they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Wow. Can I tell you today what I want to do is I want to help through learning from David. That God has given to us in the Bible, this psalm that David wrote after he had been through sin and then understood the need to confess and forsake that sin. And as he confessed that sin, what it was able to do for him. And maybe that's exactly what's taken place in some of our lives. We don't have the joy of the Lord because there's something that is keeping us from that. And the Bible says here that David says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Wow. What a great thought. Amen. Opportunities to confess sin are given to us by God. Before you're able to confess sin, you have to acknowledge the sin. You have to know that you have sin. You have to be aware of that. And praise God, he's the one that makes us aware of it. It's his Holy Spirit that even as a lost individual, they have to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God to acknowledge the fact that they are sinners in need of a Savior. After we are saved, we come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to us that the sin is what's keeping us from the blessings that God would have for us. However, confession is never forced. We decide to. After we have sinned, we make a decision whether to keep it in, trying to hide it or act like it never happened, or get it out. keep it in or get it out. I don't want to be rude, but how many have ever had food poisoning? Yeah. Most anybody that has eaten out. I remember, and I've had it several different times, and I never have enjoyed any of the times that I had food poisoning. But there's one particular time I remember we ate at a Chinese restaurant and had some shrimp, and I thought it was good when I was eating it. They covered it up with a lot of different flavors and a lot of different spices. But it wasn't much after we got home, after eating out at that restaurant, that I started feeling a corruption inside of me. And I realized that inside of me was making me sick. And the only thing that I could think of at that time was, I want to get it out. Yeah. I don't want to keep it in. I realized that it was food poisoning. I realized what I consumed was making me sick, and it wasn't pleasant thinking about it, but I'm thinking, I want it out no matter how unpleasant it might be. Get it out of my system. And as you know, what you have to do to get it out of your system after a while is not pleasant, but afterwards, doesn't it feel better? Yeah, afterwards, you get it out. Can I tell you, this is God's message for us. It's corruption. And you have a choice. When God reveals it to you, you have a choice. You leave it in, or you get it out. You see, to start with, we are given opportunities to confess to be saved, to have everlasting life. David would say here in verse 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And that idea of being covered is being blotted out. I love what Isaiah would even go on to write. Isaiah in chapter 44, and again, you can write these verses down. But Isaiah chapter 44, this is Old Testament. Even Isaiah, as he was prophesying, realized this, as David said this. But in chapter 44 of Isaiah, if I get there over here, in verse 21, it says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, he says, for I have redeemed thee. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. He has given us opportunity to confess and forsake those sins and have them blotted out and find ourselves in favor with God instead of being dead in our trespasses and sins. Over in the book of Acts in chapter 3, Peter's message to those who had at this point realized they had crucified Jesus, the Messiah. And he addresses those in Acts and during the apostolic age in the book of Acts in chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, and now, brethren, I wot that thou through ignorance you did it. You might not have understood what you were doing, but through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And then he says to them, because now you're understanding that, but because now you can see and you can come under the conviction, he says, repent ye therefore. God's part is convicting us, giving us opportunities to confess. But we have to confess. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be, here it is again, blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Has your sins been blotted out? Have you been brought back in favor with God, you have the opportunity. If you're under the preaching of the Word of God, I believe right now, if you have a need to be saved, I believe that God uses the preaching of the Word, and the Spirit of God will take that and He will convict your spirit. He will convict your soul. He will help you to understand that you're a sinner, you're lost and on your way to devil's hell, and you must confess. Call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's God who has given you that opportunity. If you look back in your life, if you are saved, look back to that point when you know that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. For me, my goodness, it's getting farther and farther back. I was 8 years old. That was 56 years ago. 56 years ago, I can still remember coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and realized that I was on my way to a devil's hell, and I told my third grade Sunday school teacher I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I confessed with my own mouth. He led me to see that I was in need of a Savior. He led me to understand why I was coming, why I felt the way I felt, and why what I needed to do to get rid of that feeling of going, dying, going to hell, and being able to rejoice in the Lord and knowing that I had everlasting life. And as He led me to that understanding, I remember in my own mind, and as I confessed, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart and save my soul. 56 years ago, can I tell you what? I'm still saved. And I'm still shouting for joy. I have favor with God, and no matter what I have to go through, when I went through my heart surgery and facing death, I was shouting for joy because I understood that heaven was real. And God, if it was my time to go, I'm ready to go. Praise the Lord for that. Can I tell you, we can all have that same peace. When you have favor with God, it leads us to shouting for joy in the midst of whatever trial or storm that we have to go through. The thing that hinders our favor with God, the only thing that can hinder our favor with God, is sin. Verse 32, there in the book of Psalms, David said once he had confessed with his mouth and he had turned back to God and had his sins forgiven and been blotted out, he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. David said, I'm back in fellowship with God and being led and directed by Him. See, we're given opportunity to confess, even after salvation, to turn back to God and His leading in our lives. If you're living in sin, you're not being led by God. You're blinded to God. Yeah. But you have an opportunity to confess as a believer and to get back into a fellowship with God where He can lead, guide, and direct us. I love that. Look, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Too often we try to convince ourselves that we are right with God, even though we know we're not. And we might want to tell others, I'm in fellowship with God. We might even try to tell ourselves, I'm in fellowship with God. I'm in church. I pray. I read my Bible. Those are all good things, but those are things that a lost man can do. First John chapter 5, the Bible says this in First John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, none. That darkness is sin. That darkness is ungodliness. There's none in God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, the Bible says, God records, we lie and do not the truth. You see, fellowship means that there is no aughts between us and God. To have fellowship with God, that means that there's no darkness that can separate our fellowship. Now, it doesn't, that's not talking about relationship. Relationship comes, it's a gift. And it comes by way of Jesus Christ. We become the children of God as we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He has paid our sin debt. He redeems us unto God. And so that's a relationship. But in that relationship, if we want to have the fellowship of God, we have to make sure that there is no aught between us and God. That aught becomes darkness. And there's no darkness in God. There's no fellowship with darkness with God. Matthew chapter 5, it might better help us to understand this. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was instructing his disciples as he was discipling them. And he says to them in chapter 5 and verse 23, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, where are you going to have fellowship with God? Were you going to be able to shout for joy? Were you able to rejoice in the midst of whatever else that you're faced with? You can get to the altar and you want to bring a gift to the Lord and have fellowship with him and rejoice with him. But he says, and there rememberest that thou brother hath aught against thee. If you have aught in your relationships and you're not handling them the way that God wants you to handle them, then that aught in your relationship with others can be an aught between you and God. Because he says, leave there thy gift. God says, I don't want the fellowship with you when there is aught. Because your aught in your relationship with others can also mean that there's aught between your relationship and your fellowship with God. Not the relationship, but your fellowship with God. And so he says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. If you don't acknowledge the aught that is there in your life with others or something else that is going on, you can't expect to have that fellowship with God. God says, get rid of that aught because that is sin. And if you have that sin in your life towards somebody else, then that sin hinders our fellowship. If that sin hinders your fellowship, you're not going to be able to shout for joy. Yeah. As David would find out. So the question is there any hindrances in our lives that God would have us to confess? Is there any hindrances that the Spirit of God is revealing to you with an unwillingness to forgive, an unwillingness to love, an unwillingness to get rid of? Is there something there that the Spirit of God convicts us of, and yet we just keep putting it off, trying to hide it or act like it's not there and expect to have the fellowship and the favor of God? Back in Psalms chapter 32, verse 3 and 4, this is what David experienced before he would confess. When I kept silence, well, I'm just not going to do anything with it. That's keeping silent. It's there. You can't ignore it. You have to do something with it. By doing nothing, you're doing the wrong thing. You're keeping silent. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It just, like that Chinese food, it's just corrupting my inside. It's rotten in my gut. I got to get rid of it. Just keeping it there is not helping. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Conviction. I kept trying to put it off. I kept trying to act like, well, it'll go away on its own. My moisture has turned into the drought of summer, dried up, no life. Because I kept silent. David tried to keep silent. It didn't work out for David. And it won't work out for us. Because God is aware of it. If God's aware of it, he's trying to give us opportunity to confess it so that he might cleanse it, blot it out, and allow us to restore fellowship. Amen. But it's your choice. Confessing sin is my choice. It's my free will. Lastly, this morning, and go back there with me in Psalms chapter 32. We're given opportunities to confess so that the sin will not reign in our lives. See, because the longer we put it off, the more strength it gets. The more it starts controlling us instead of us controlling it. And the more it starts controlling us, it starts affecting every part of our existence. When I'm that sick, I can't think straight. When I'm that sick, if my mind is messed up because I can't think straight, my body is messed up. It can't function properly. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. Before he was trying to keep silent, and now he acknowledges that he tried to just hide it. And I said, I'm not going to keep silent any longer. I'm not going to try to hide it any longer. I said, I will confess. What a time to rejoice when you finally break through and you realize what God wants you to do, and your spirit bears witness with this spirit and says, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Not to hide it, not to keep silence, not to try to cover it up. Book of Proverbs, I'm almost done here, so follow with me. Proverbs chapter 28, write this down again. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 and 14. He that covereth his sins. You're trying to cover it yourself. Shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have the very mercy of God. Undeserved forgiveness. And then he says in verse 14, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. When you confess it, as David said, you can rejoice in the Lord. You are in favor with God. That changes everything. But when you just try to hide it, cover it up, it begins to rain. It rains. What do you mean it rains? Well, Romans in chapter 6, let me just read this to you again. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 12, it helps us to understand what David is getting across when he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Unconfessed sin will end up reigning. That idea of reigning is controlling every aspect of our being. It will reign in our spirit. Yeah. That's who we are. That's our free will. If it reigns in your spirit, it will then reign in our minds. And if it goes so far as to continue to take over your mind, it eventually will reign in our bodies. That's just how the spiritual works, because it's the spirit that is eternal. It's a spirit is who you are. That's what part comes from God. God puts your spirit into that womb of your parent, but that was the life that God gives you. And that sin will reign in your spirit. And if it's reigning in your free will, who you are, it will start controlling your thinking. And the more that it's reigning in your spirit, the more control it will have in your mind. And the more control it has in your mind, the more that you will allow yourself to physically go in the direction of the flesh. So how do I stop it? Take advantage of the opportunities when they come. When the Spirit of God convicts you, you have an opportunity to confess. And when you confess, you stop the rain in your spirit, which will stop the rain in your mind, your thought life, which will stop the rain in your physical life. We stop sin's rain by confessing to God. As we confess our sins unto the Lord, we regain the favor, and eventually we're able to shout for joy. Facing a lot of things today, a lot of unknowns, but what we do know is when God opens a door of opportunity, take advantage of it. Confess whatever the Spirit of God might convict us of. If I could have every head bowed this morning. Is it something that you have failed to confess that is keeping you from the favor of God? It could be salvation. If you're here this morning, or if you're a part of our service through the streamline and you've just heard the Word of God preached and the Spirit of God is now convicting you of salvation, don't block it out. Receive the conviction and let it lead you to confessing with your mouth that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And call upon the name of the Lord to be saved right here, right now. If you're a saved man or woman or teenager and you have been guilty of sins that has taken you out of the fellowship with God, and you have an opportunity, because right now you're convicted of that sin, don't put it off any longer. Confess it. You, of your own free will, confess it and forsake it right now and have that fellowship restored. God's speaking to you. An invitation is given after every message preached here, and it's to give you opportunity to take advantage of the opportunity of God in confessing. Will you do it? Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And Lord, as I believe I have preached exactly what you wanted me to preach today, I pray, God, that you would now take it and that you would help each and every one that has come under the hearing of the word, that they would apply it as they have need to apply it for salvation, possibly even baptism or just a confession of sin, a dedication to your will, whatever it might be. I pray, God, that they would take advantage of this opportunity, confess with their own mouths, and find themselves in the favor of God, where they can shout for joy. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.